Okay, give me all
your I'll pay a beautiful paycheck.
But all the Vicks and
all right.
Flash people have moved up to Queensland.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. We're just about ready to start here. We're busy taking their seats. That camera will adjust in a moment, I'm hoping. Okay, there we go. That'll get better in a minute. Now, I don't think we're quite right just yet, guys. One second.
Do you want to just fix that camera?
A little bit to the right, Josh. And there we are. Very good. It's hard when now I'm still off the screen. Oh, come on, camera work. We have a remote operated camera, and it generally speaking, it's pretty good, but sometimes when there's a lot of action, it doesn't know where to look, as there is this morning. Anyway, well, welcome everyone. Lovely to see everybody here for the combined CIC Church's service this morning. Okay, thank you. Now, this morning, of course, we're going to be looking at, we're continuing the series, which is the summer series for the church services that have been running over the summer, which, of course, is to do with the ministry of Jesus and how it relates to the plan of God and what it is that we've actually, the way that he was able to more clearly show, I guess, throughout his life and his parables, even his birth, his baptism, the miracles, how we can build a better relationship with God. And this morning we're talking about the lifestyle of Jesus. We're just having a little bit of feedback issues on our microphones here this morning. One of them must be a little bit too loud. So we'll work that out in just a minute. I did think it was rather loud this morning. And we'll just see whether we can get that right before the songs start, because if we don't, then it'll be really messy. But I don't know about you, but we're talking about summer, but summer's kind of gone on a bit of holidays around here for the last week or so. It's certainly been a colder weather here, much more like, I guess, autumn or winter even. So been an opportunity for rain. How are we going in there, guys?
Not good.
We're busy trying to find out where we're getting our feedback from here, that's all. But, okay, that's sounding a lot better there now. Well, what we might do, of course, running through this morning's program before we get to the singing, we've got a bit of a presentation on Psalm 19. Now, not all of the psalm, but particularly that part that relates to the relationship of a person with their God and the way the statutes and the commands and things that we can hang on to. After that, of course, we've also got some Bible readings, and then Sydney will be giving us the message this morning. All right, but I think we're all ready to go, so I'll pass it over to the band and we'll sing the first couple of songs. The first one this morning is Facing a Task Unfinished. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Ben. Hopefully all of our feedback issues are sorted out now. We'll sing our first song, Facing a Task Unfinished.
Reviews have slept fully.
good to see everybody enjoying that song out in the audience. The next one that we have is Your Words.
Sorry about those sound issues. It's funny how these things happen, you know. We use the same settings every week. And then you walk in one day and it just all over the shop. I don't know. It's just one of those things that seems to happen, unfortunately. That's show business. That's what it is. Anyway, gremlins in the air. Yeah, something in there. Who knows? Well, let's start this morning before we get into the first presentation of the Psalms and then into our Bible readings, etc. And I'll ask everybody to stop and bow their heads, and I'll repeat the Lord's Prayer from Luke chapter 11. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So, I wasn't exactly sure whether I was supposed to do a presentation on this or not, but the first item on the program this morning was a little excerpt from Psalm 19. And given that today we're talking lifestyle and the way that lifestyle can affect our relationship with God, and also the way that Jesus showed or proclaimed a lifestyle that would better orientate people's lives towards God, I thought, why not go into some of the things that are being said in this psalm and just see how they relate? It's one of those, this is almost like, I kind of feel like this psalm is almost like what you would expect to see in the book of Proverbs. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it's very much like, you know, this happens in this, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child type of thing, that sort of thing, you know. And this is almost like that. It's a very much a cause and effect. You've got, say, psalm, in this one, for example, we start here in this psalm where it starts out as, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." But you kind of think, why? What is it? What is it? It said a few things here. It hasn't just said something, you know, fancy. It says that the law of the Lord is perfect. And then the result of that is that it converts the soul. And I thought that was really interesting because in Hebrews, it actually says that the law made nothing perfect. And in fact, Paul in Romans says that he says, is the law imperfect or is the law not good? And he says, no, that's not the case. The law is good. God's instructions are perfect. God's laws for us are perfect. But of course, we find that through the failings of man, nothing was made perfect through them. You know, it was interesting that Jesus, when in Matthew 5, says that he came to fulfill the law, and he was the only one that could. And so in his lifestyle, we see that we've got this fulfillment of the law, the very embodiment of what it meant to live as God wanted us to live. But it's interesting also that, you know, it says that if a man does the law, he shall live in them. And I think that's the second part, the conversion there. The live in them. The end game is life. The law, which is supposed to bring life, will give life if you can do it. The trouble is that through the fallen nature of man, we are unable to do it. It's only God that can do that. Anyway, this is not the message segment. All right. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, we always hear about the law and the testimony, and we think, you know, what is this testimony? Well, the law, we understand laws, their instructions, their guidelines, way that we're supposed to live. The testimony, I feel like, is probably more the practical application. The Bible is a wonderful testimony to witness even to the way that God would have these laws played out in the history, in man's lives, in mankind's lives. And in many ways, the testimony is the witness of what happens when you do follow the law or when you do follow the right way. In fact, Isaiah sets up the law and the testimony, which are both in this verse, of course. And he says that if people aren't speaking according to these things, if they're not proclaiming the right way, and they're also not showing the right application as well, then they don't have the light. They don't have light in them, Isaiah 20. All right, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So the statute, this is what we actually have here is in this one verse is a statute and a commandment. And it's kind of pretty difficult sometimes to discern the difference between these two. And I think perhaps a statute is like an executive order, a way that things will be done. We hear a lot about executive orders at the moment, don't we? If you follow American politics. The statutes are kind of like the general plan of things. They're the way that God has said, this is the way it will be done, and it's generally for all people. A commandment, though, is a more specific instruction in a specific situation. the way that somebody as an individual will apply and be within this framework of the statutes. And what do we see here? We see the statutes are right and they make the heart rejoice. When we recognise the plan of God, we can rejoice in the fact and the knowledge that he is in control and that he has a way of bringing all things right. The commandment, of course, is pure and enlightening. When we can recognise God's work in our individual lives and those close to us, I guess, as well, you kind of think, wow, isn't that amazing and enlightening? Romans 8 lists a very interesting, I guess, probably, I figured that this, I've never really thought of it in this light before, but that famous verse, 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, so that's generally all people that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And there's a specific one. Now, these people that are called according to his purpose, I would assume, are also the ones that love God as well, but these are a select group that God has called for a purpose and given individual commandments, I guess you could say, or instructions. Verse 9. You'll be pleased to know we're not going through at this slow rate for all of the verses. I just thought we'd have a look at these ones. The fear of the Lord is clean. Clean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? So what is it? It's not dirty. In other words, it's not tainted. There's no sort of deception or, I guess, you know, sort of shadiness about it. The fear of the Lord is not trying to bargain with God or anything like that, but it is the respect and awe and reverence that we give to the most powerful being there ever is and was. So I guess as I always think of the fear of the Lord as being a bit like electricity, or what you should have with electricity. You know that if you touch it, you're going to die if the voltage is high enough. And so you have this sort of respect of it. Now, that being said, I think that's as far as that analogy really goes. Because
pure sine wave?
Pure sine wave, yeah. Yeah, that's right. If you're looking for a good backup generator, Tim, yeah, because Osgood can't keep the power on or something, then yeah, that's pure sine wave. Something like that is clean. That, why did we go there? The fear of, and what does it say in Proverbs? The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. So again, we have life put forward. Perhaps these three verses in the psalm here are all about life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. And how long shall he abide satisfied? Well, in verse 9 we can see there, enduring forever. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? You hold the fear of the Lord at the beginning of knowledge, as it says, and that holds you true. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. When I read these three verses, I was reminded of that song, and I think if Michelle or perhaps Dad were on the presentation here this morning, they might break out into spontaneous singing of a song that encapsulates these three verses. I will not do that this morning, which you'll all be thankful for. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's lovely the way that rhymes, that last verse, isn't it? So I guess the judgments, well, we know judgments is something that we make or that somebody in authority makes. A person has authority over their life, their own life, to make judgments. We see here that God, the authority, the judge of all the earth, he is the one who passes the sentence and verdict, and it will always be in truth, and it will always be right. And we can take great confidence in that. That's as much of the close sort of analysis as we're going to do, and I'm going to read these last four, five verses. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What do we got? We've got riches there and we've got food as well, sweet food. Moreover, by them thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I read this thing a week ago, I think it was, and the fellow sort of describes the way God's relationship to us as much like a father and a son, where the father says, I love you so much, son. Please be careful with the decisions that you make. And it's not just because, not just for the son's sake, but also for the father's sake as well, which has to watch it and see the results of the decisions that the son or the children make. Yeah, so he's put these laws and commands there for us to be warned, and so that we can prosper. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. It's an interesting statement. Who can understand his errors? God doesn't have any errors. As it says in verse 9, they're true and he is true and righteous. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. There's a whole different study into what a sin and what a transgression is. Anyway, we'll go into that another time. And then, of course, we have this one. I think we might have this on our wall at home, don't we, Nadia? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a lovely way to end that psalm. So now we're actually going to have some more Bible readings. We're going to actually switch over to, we'll pass it over to Singleton. And I believe it may be somebody from Kerry's place over there that is going to do the first reading for us. So if the sound guys are on it, have we got you there, Kerry or Singleton?
Yes, you do.
Phew.
It helps to be unmuted. The reading that I'm doing is from Deuteronomy 10, the chapter 10. Verses 1 to 5 and 12 to 22. At that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. And I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in my hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount, and put the tables in the ark which I had made, and there they be, as the Lord commanded me. Going to verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger, in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude.
Thank you very much, Ruth. I love that parallel there in that Deuteronomy 12 and 13, very much with Micah 6 verse 8. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God? It doesn't say in exactly those words, but very interesting, isn't it? It's a common theme. So I'm going to ask Caleb to come up and do the reading here that from Terrigal. So thank you, Caleb. Dropped it on you at the last minute there. That was good.
Jesus outlines his recommended lifestyle, Matthew 5, 1 to 12, 17 to 20. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Very good. Thank you, Caleb. Yes, it's interesting. I think that it's very interesting how that Jesus comes and he starts promoting a life and an idea set, I guess, that is completely out of this world. Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount here, we can see that very, very clearly. Now, for the next reading, we're going to pass over to Windsor. So have we got Windsor there, Carolyn, or who's doing
yes.
the reading there?
Yep, that's it. Thank you. Are we on yet?
Can you see the screen there, Carolyn?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, we can hear you, okay. So you're coming through.
Okay, thank you. So what shall I do? From Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 25. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? And I've got a second reading now from John chapter 14, verses 23 to 27. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And now it's time to turn over, to return the role to Singleton, who I believe will be announcing and singing the next song. Over to Singleton. Thank you.
Hi.
Maybe Laura.
Okay. We will be singing hymn 47.
Well, Darren, it looks like you're on. Can you hear us there, Darren? We'll see if we can get out. There we are. Darren, it's over to you by the looks of it for the message for this morning. So, hopefully it's shed some light on the readings that have been conducted from the different places. I'll pass it over to you then.
Thanks, mate. We can always hope. Can you see me okay? Thumbs up, Ben?
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Thank you. I really should just say, Ben gave us a sermon earlier this morning. He covered a lot of content there, which is really great to hear. I thought I'd just say, that's a sermon, and we should leave it at that. But I do have to give a message as part of the Sydney contingent for our combined service. When I heard the subject of today's service, which was the lifestyle taught by Jesus, I started thinking about it, and there's a lot to cover. I mean, Jesus' lifestyle was his life, and what he taught to us is it filled up the whole New Testament and more. So there's a lot to cover in that. But one thing which I couldn't shake from my head was a saying. And the saying is, and you've probably heard this many times, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for his life. And that kind of got stuck in my head. And I think Jesus fell into that second category. I think Jesus was the greatest creator of fishermen that ever lived. And I think he taught us how to fish by how he lived. Now, of course, some of the vegetarians among you are saying, Jesus didn't teach me how to fish. I don't even eat fish. So, of course, I'm not really talking about fish, just like Jesus wasn't talking about fish when he said, I will make you fishers of men. What we're talking about is how Jesus taught us how to live, how to be so that we can do. How Jesus taught us how to live a life that's close and aligned to God, a life that helps each other, a life where we can meet new challenges with confidence, a life where we make a better world, a life where we can live and achieve a goal. And I started thinking about my work, and I want to try something on with you. It's a half-formed thought, so I'm open to feedback on this, but when my day-to-day job is to try and help organizations transform and lift their game, and what that means is create great cultures where people love to work, where they can focus on stuff that matters and stop focusing on things that don't matter, and where they have the skills to thrive and adapt in a changing world. And that's kind of what I do. And I learned pretty quickly what that does and doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean is telling people what to do. You can't tell people what to do in every situation. You can't make a rule book big enough. What it does mean is helping people develop a mindset so they can choose to do what's best in any situation, so they can think for themselves, so they can solve new problems. And having the right mindset is the key. It's kind of like teaching a man to fish. Give them a way to be, and they can do things when they need to and achieve things in new circumstances. And what I often say is, I'll bring up a little bit of a slide behind me, trying to be clever. What I often say is the mindset is based on your values, supported by your principles, and lived through many practices. So the mindset that allows us to be is based on values, supported by principles, and lived through many practices. And in my world, we say there's a mindset of agility that's based on 4 values, 12 principles, and lived through myriad practices. And all this is there to achieve a goal. There's a goal behind it all. And when I was thinking about how Jesus taught us to live, I was actually thinking, this exactly applies to how Jesus taught us to live. But Jesus did it in a much better and far more meaningful way. So let me explain a little bit of what I'm thinking there. When you peel it all back, what do you think Jesus was trying to encourage us to do? What did he want for us? And what did he live and show his example to help us to achieve? Now, maybe at the end of the day, Jesus wanted us to have a close relationship with God. He wanted us to be in sync with God, to love God, to have a oneness with God. Maybe he was trying to encourage us to have a mindset that was attuned to our Creator. That means that we could walk with God and be the best versions of ourselves. And to have this God-aligned mindset of loving and accepting and creation and growth and contentment, where our mind is pure and our actions are pure. Maybe this was Jesus' goal for us, and maybe he wanted us to develop a mindset and a capability to achieve that goal. And that mindset is a way of permeating through everything that we do. Now, which begs the question, what's your goal for you? But if that's the goal of the mindset that Jesus was trying to create in the way that he lived, what do you think the values were? Now, I was thinking about this. What are the values that support the mindset? And I think there were two. We read in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I think that Jesus had two values that supported his mindset. Love God and love your neighbor. And they underpin everything that he taught and underpin everything that he did and how he lived and why he lived like he lived. And I think that if you and I had those two mindsets, those two values, and we'll be pretty close to that God-aligned mindset. And so if these values are supported by principles, then what are the principles? Perhaps the principles start with the Ten Commandments, and we read those earlier today. We read some parts in Deuteronomy and Matthew about the Ten Commandments. Because the first four of the Ten Commandments are about supporting love God. And the second six of the Ten Commandments are about supporting love your neighbor. But I also think that Jesus added a few things to the principles that we need to live, and added or clarified, because they already existed in the Old Testament. Now, there's a whole list of things we could add here, and these are the ones that just jumped to my mind when I was thinking about it. I think that Jesus added some principles like forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others, and with that comes our ability and our need to repent, and repent, really repent. I think he brought in and really made clear humility, being a servant to our fellow man, being a servant leader, helping, encouraging, supporting each other. I think he brought in hope and made that much more clear, and the faith that we need to have, the looking forward, the being positive. But what I really think he brought in a lot was self-awareness, the introspection, so that we can live a purposeful life and not robotically follow bad leaders or bad habits or bad things. In our reading from Deuteronomy, we read about the Ten Commandments and how they encourage us to and support us in loving the Lord our God. So if these are the principles, what do we think the practices are? So I'll go back to that other slide that I had. So Jesus demonstrated a mindset, values and principles and how he lived every day, and we do too, and we can too, and we can do it better. Jesus lived the Mosaic laws and statutes and commandments, the foundation guides and references that we have so that we can live attuned to God and be brought closer to God by our actions. And as Ben was saying in Psalms, we read that the laws and the statutes and the commands were gold, they're pure, they're clean. And the psalmist invites us to meditate on these. And why does he invite us to meditate on these? It's a way to foster self-awareness, to understand the values and the principles that go behind the practices in the laws and the commands and the statutes that set us upright with that God-aligned mindset. Now, it's important to, I think remind ourselves that it is a continuum. A mindset will help you do the practices. The practices will help you do the mindset. You're going up and down the tree all the time. And our goal is to have that pure mindset, and our practices just come from us because we are living the mindset, living that closeness with God, living that oneness with God. In Matthew, we read that story about the guy who'd been doing all of the laws and following the Ten Commandments and was challenged. He had a goal, and his goal was eternal life. Or to be perfect. And Jesus invited him to move beyond the Ten Commandments, to move beyond the principles, if you like, to actually get into the real mindset, live the values. Now, he basically says that if the guy wants to be closer to God, he can't just do practices. He needs to move beyond them and have the right mindset and live these values of loving thy neighbour. Now, it's hard for him. He owns a lot of things and he said he's got to go and sell them all and give them to the poor. But that was his anchor from being closer to God and being closer to that mindset, that pure mindset of loving God and the goal that he had for that mindset. And Jesus talked about motivation, the goal. He talked about, if a man love me, we'll make our abode with him. And so we have a personal goal and we have a mindset to achieve that, like that man. We also have a church goal, and we need a mindset to achieve that as well, the goals of our church. Now, Christians Like Church is to gather those who want to live like Jesus Christ by following the Old Testament and New Testament and be alive at his return. That's the goal of the Christians Like Church. And we need to cultivate the mindset, the values, the principles and the practices that achieve that goal. We want to gather those who have a like mindset and want to have that closeness with God, who want to live like Jesus, practice what he practiced, be supported by his principles as he lived, based on the values as he lived them. We want to have that good and fully aligned mindset to live God's purpose for us and walk with God. Jesus taught us an awful lot. And when I think about all the different things he talked about them, I can categorize them into those three different, the four different levels. It's a help to understand and unpack his examples and how he lived and how I can learn from those and start using those in my life. I think that Jesus could easily feed us fish all day long. He fed the 4,000, he fed the 5,000, but Jesus and God really want us to be able to fish for ourselves. They want us to have choices, to have experiences, to be able to adapt to new challenges, new fishing grounds, to live lives that draw us closer to God. And Jesus helped us to do that with his teaching. He embedded lessons in his stories that we can recall, even if we can't recall the exact words, we can always recall the lesson that we got from the stories. He lived a template life all for us. I encourage us to think about how we can strive to access and emulate the life that Jesus lived, the way that he taught us. How we can meditate like the psalmist says, how we can live powerful and fulfilling lives, how we can be able to meet the new challenges that God brings to us in our day-to-days, and have that mindset that means that we can rise to meet those challenges so that we can develop our ability to fish in uncharted waters and so that we can be alive to meet Jesus at his return. Or as Ben said at the beginning, I think, how can we learn from Jesus' ways of living so that we can better orientate our lives towards God? And that's a challenge that we have. So I invite you all, think about mindset, values, principles and practices. Let me know what you think. And maybe this helps you just compartmentalize and unpack a little bit of all the things that Jesus taught us so that we can live a better and more powerful life wherever. Back to you, Ben.
Just right. Yeah, thank you, Darren. Certainly plenty to think about there. That's very good. Now, I believe we're actually going to be handing back over to Singleton again for the last hymn for today. So, we'll move that on, and have we got you there, Singleton? There we are. Very good, yeah. All right, well, over to you then for hymn 83.
Eternal light. What a
Thank you very much, Singleton. So we've heard a lot today about lifestyle and laws and keeping commandments and walking with God. And I think that this is really perhaps our duty. And so hopefully hopefully people have had plenty to think about there, certainly from first the psalm and then those readings, and Darren tying it all together as aptly and as well as he did. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for coming this morning. We're going to finish off with the doxology. I invite everybody to attend, those that are online, to attend Singleton's online service next weekend. And, I'll pass it back to the household of Kerry again at Singleton there to lead us in the doxology, if that's okay. Thank you, Singleton.
Yeah, we can do that.
I put you on the spot.
It's all good. I'm ready. Here we go. Robert.
You're rushing.
Do you know this one?
Sing loud, mother. Okay.
Thank you, everyone, again for coming. And it's always fun passing these things backwards and forwards between the different bodies. But hopefully, we can all move together in the unity of the spirit and in the bond of peace. I think it is. I can't remember. Anyway, look forward to seeing you all again soon. And thanks again.
Evidently need to practice the doxology a little bit more.
Little bit of a surprise there.
We're listening to your conversation.
Yeah, that's all right. It was a general comment, actually.
Morning, Janice.
Good morning.
How long did you practice?